Christmas. Most of us look forward to this time of year, but tonight I'd like to tell you about someone who hated Christmas. His name is James Barnes. About this time last year, he had just finished some consulting work in Atlanta and was headed north on I-75 through Tennessee. It was mid-afternoon of Christmas Eve day. A light snow was falling, and he was quickly approaching the exit to his old hometown, Crossroads, Tennessee. Oh, he wasn't planning to stop. In fact, he hadn't been back home since college. His mother, Lucille Barnes, had left town 9 years before, and no one, including James, had heard from her since. All James wanted to do was get to the Detroit Hilton as quickly as he could and forget it was Christmas. However, as his hometown exit came into view, he couldn't help but be a little curious. There was old Jake's garage, as run down as ever, but still standing. And then James saw a little weather-beaten sign off the side of the interstate that said, "Granny Grace's Apple Farm, exit here." Guilt swept over him as memories flooded back. Grace Hudson was the one person in the whole world that he truly loved. He grew up calling her Mom, and yet he hadn't so much as dropped her a postcard in 10 years. Her son, Johnny, had been his best friend, and James had practically grown up in the Hudson farmhouse. James again remembered the recent Christmas card he had just received from Grace with this bizarre note at the end. "Please come home for Christmas. Johnny's coming too. All my love, Mom Hudson." Suddenly, he glanced up and saw a slow-moving truck right in front of him. He veered to the left, hit a patch of ice, and started spinning out of control toward the median. He came to a sudden stop in a muddy ditch. Though James was normally in control of every situation, he found himself trembling as his mind flashed back to the accident that had taken place exactly 10 years before. After several minutes, he regained his composure and began berating himself for being so stupid. He started the car, gunned the engine several times to try to get back on the interstate, but was quickly up to both axles in mud. Once again, his hometown had brought him nothing but bad luck. Grudgingly, he climbed out of his car, stepped into ankle-deep mud. The suction of the sticky red clay quickly gobbled up both of his shoes as he struggled to get out of the ditch. Soon his teeth were chattering and his temper was boiling. He sloshed up the exit ramp in his stocking feet and his custom-made suit. When James reached the top of the ramp, a policeman finally came along and rolled down his window.
"Howdy, son. Anything I can do to help?"
"You certainly can, officer. I need a tow out of the mud right away, and I'm in a hurry."
"Whoa there. Hold on a second. I ain't used to taking orders from no kid. But if you'll just back off a little, I'll see what I can do. Wait a minute. Jimmy? Jimmy Barnes? Is that you, boy?"
"Sheriff Martin. I didn't recognize.
Well, I'll be a purple polecat. Jump on in here, son. You sure are a sight for sore eyeballs. Grace kept telling me you'd be home for Christmas, but I never actually thought we'd see you. You must, been doing a lot of stuff all these years. You forget Crossroads, Tennessee was still on the map?"
No, sir. I've been really, busy. I've been real busy."
"Busy?"
"Oh, you know, making a living and taking care of things."
"Well, that's unique. Well, I guess it really don't matter anyway. We're just glad you finally came to give us a visit. You must have gotten Grace Hudson's Christmas card."
"How do you know about that?"
"Well, I know just about everything there is to know about Grace Hudson. Her husband and I were best friends. God rest his soul. Hard to believe it's been almost 30 years since he's been gone. Anyways, helping Grace out with her finances ever since his home going. You know, paying the bills and making sure her checkbook balances out. Tell you what, that woman sure is a mess when it comes to finances. She doesn't have much to begin with, but what little she does have, she tries to give it away."
"I guess some things never change."
"I still don't know what we're gonna do come next summer, though."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, I'm retiring, and my son wants me to move over to his house in Minnesota for the summer."
"Well, can't Mom Hudson take care of herself?"
"Not hardly. Her age is really starting to show. I'm worried about her, Jimmy. These last few weeks, she's really been down in the dumps, and Doc Howard says she hasn't been eating much either."
"Well, what's wrong with her?"
"Christmas is always tough on her, missing her two boys and all. But praise the Lord, she's about to have the best Christmas she's had in a long, long time."
"She is."
"She sure is, son. Because you're here, and you're just the medicine she needs."
"Sir, I do need to get my car."
Your car? Oh, what was I thinking anyway? Where is it?"
"It's right down there in the median, stuck in the mud."
"That big black Cadillac is yours?"
It's a company car."
"I guess you have been making a living."
"So do you think Jake could give me a tow?"
I'm sure he'd be glad to, but I think he told me he was going up to Bear Mountain with his grandkids to sled.
Great.
Tell you what, Jimmy. I'll take you over to Grace's and give me a couple hours or so, and I'll have your car sitting in Grace's driveway pretty as you please. How's that for service?
Not exactly what I had in mind.
How's that?
Thanks for being so kind.
Jimmy was totally beside himself. He didn't know just what to do. Just 30 minutes before, he had everything under control. Now, he found himself knocking on the front door of the Hudson Farmhouse, the last place he wanted to be, especially at Christmas.
This place sure is run down.
May I help you?
Debbie?
Jimmy, I can't believe you're here. It's been so long.
I know, I'm sorry. I probably should have written or called or something.
That's all right, Jimmy. Really.
What are you doing here?
My mother just dropped me off. Dad wanted to get Mrs. Hudson a meal for today.
You still live with your folks in that old broken-down parsonage?
Hey, don't be too rough on the old place. I really fixed it up.
So you never left Crossroads, huh?
Nah.
What do you do here?
I'm Dad's secretary at the church, and I love it.
Who's here, Debbie?
Mrs. Hudson, come and see. It's an old friend.
How is she, Debbie?
She's okay most of the time. It's just that her memory is starting to...
What's all this commotion going on out here? Oh, dear. Can it be?
Hi, Mom.
Oh, Johnny. It's so good to see you. Welcome home, son.
But...
What's wrong, son? Cat got your tongue? You just need some good home cooking. Now, come on in the kitchen and I'll fix that. I'm starved, too. It's so good to have you home, Johnny.
But, Mom, I'm not Johnny.
Oh, you're not hungry after that long drive home from college? That's a good one. Any more fibs like that and I'll wash your mouth out with soap. Now, come on in out of the cold. Son, where's your shoes?
I kind of lost them.
Well, get in here on the double before you catch your death of cold. You haven't changed a bit. Still need your old mother to look after you, don't you? Remember that time you and Jimmy took your shoes off in the hayloft and we didn't find them until 2 years later?
Yeah, I remember. My mom, though, killed me.
You better believe I was upset. Money don't grow on trees, you know. Now, take off those old muddy socks and I'll be back in a jiffy. You've got plenty of socks and shoes in your room. Oh, boys will be boys.
What's going on?
That's what I was starting to tell you. She's really confused a lot of the time.
How long has she been like this?
It's been several years now, but it's been getting worse lately.
Well, can't Doc Howard help her?
He says just not antagonize her. If you try to correct her, she just gets upset.
This is going to be interesting.
Don't let it get to you, Jimmy. She's the same sweet person as she's always been. Just a little mixed up sometimes.
A little? She doesn't even know my name.
Oh, yes, she does. For the last 10 years, she's announced that same prayer request. Please pray for my Jimmy.
Oh, wonderful.
Jimmy, I haven't seen her this excited about anything in years.
I guess time changes things, doesn't it?
I guess so.
You never know it looking at this farmhouse.
I know. That's one reason I love it here. All those wonderful memories.
Yeah. Look at these Christmas pictures. Does he still get them out every year?
The day after Thanksgiving.
Remember this one? The night all three of us were in the Christmas play?
How could I forget? You made a dashing Joseph.
Thanks. think. You were a pretty good Mary, too, but everyone remembers that song that Johnny sang.
I know. It was so beautiful. I can still hear him singing it now.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, the humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy day. Alleluia.
After the service that night, Jimmy and Johnny went back to the farmhouse with Grace.
We're going to have fun tonight, Jimmy. Mom made some apple pie this afternoon, and maybe she'll let us stay up late and play Monopoly.
Now don't get too excited, son. Jimmy may want to go home and spend Christmas Eve with his mother.
No, Mom said she was working late at the bar tonight and might not be home at all.
But when will you open your presents?
What present?
You mean she's not getting you anything?
She didn't last year either. All she cares about is booze.
I'm sure she cares a great deal about you, Jimmy.
Then you can stay, Jimmy?
Sure.
I'll get the apple pie ready.
But can't we open our presents first?
Oh, I don't know, Johnny. You know they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and you don't want to get sick on Christmas, do you?
But, Mom, we had applesauce for supper.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, I always say you can't get too much of a good thing.
Mom, please.
All right, you two. But not before we sing my favorite Christmas song.
Let's hurry up.
All right, now sing along.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.
Wait a second. That's not a Christmas carol.
Oh, sure it is, Jimmy.
But it doesn't talk about baby Jesus, does it?
Yes, it does.
It does?
Do you two know what grace is?
No, not really.
Well, grace is God giving us something that we really don't deserve. And that's what Christmas is all about. God sent His Son, His only Son, so that we could have eternal life.
We sure don't deserve that.
That's pretty amazing.
That's great.
Fill me with glory.
Present first.
You insist.
Here, it's from both of us.
You'll really like them.
I'm sure I will.
We really worked hard.
Potholders! And my favorite colors, too. They match the ones you gave me last year.
We thought you'd want the whole set.
They're beautiful. What a surprise.
We did them on Wednesday night at church.
Sheriff Martin helped us.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I've got something for both of you, too.
I can't wait.
Well, let's go get it.
Go get it?
Yes, it's in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
It's a very expensive, special, wonderful, one in a million...
Mom, come on.
Taffy apple.
Taffy apple?
I made it especially for Christmas. What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, well, there is one other thing I almost forgot. I do have one little gift for both of you, but you need to open them at the same time.
Whatever you say, Mom.
The paper sure is pretty.
It's not very big.
But it's kind of heavy.
Mom, a real Swiss Army knife.
And look at all the stuff it has. A screwdriver, a pair of scissors, a fingernail file.
Look, Jimmy, it's got a little magnifying glass and a toothpick.
This had to be really expensive.
How'd you ever get the money to pay for these, Mom?
Well, Mr. Jake has been selling my apple pies down at his gas station, and he sold quite a few.
But I didn't see any extra pies around here.
Well, that's because I've been baking them after you're in bed and delivering them before you wake up.
Mom, you can't work all day and then all night, too.
When I grow up, I'm going to take care of you so you don't have to work anymore.
You cannot. I'm going to take care of her.
I can take care of her if I want to.
You cannot. She was my mom first.
Well, it was my idea.
Okay, settle down. Settle down. How about if both of you take care of me?
Well, maybe, says Gilbert.
I guess he can help some.
Settle. Now all you need to do is hurry and grow up.
I guess we've been pretty good boys to deserve something this nice.
Well, let's just say you've been boys. And I love both of you scallywags. But you know, Jimmy, none of us deserves anything nice. The only thing that can help us is God's amazing grace.
the years passed, Grace did her best to raise Johnny and Jimmy to serve the Lord. But Jimmy didn't seem to be interested in spiritual things. Both boys fought for Debbie's affection throughout high school. Then, when Johnny was 17 years old, he delighted Grace's heart by announcing to her that he felt called to be a missionary. Jimmy jokingly said he felt called to be a millionaire so he could support Johnny. Straight A's came easily for Jimmy, even though he got no encouragement from his real mother, and Lucille's drinking was getting more and more out of control. After graduation from high school, Grace persuaded Johnny and Jimmy to go to the same Christian college. Their small savings ran out quickly, and they had to work long hours plus keep up with their schoolwork. College life was not easy, and Grace faithfully sent them care packages once a month, but that was about all she could do. Besides, pray. Although it was tough, things went pretty well until Christmas Eve of their senior year.
Have another piece of apple pie, boys. You know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Oh, Mom, if I take one more bite, I'll have to go to the doctor for sure.
How about you, Jimmy?
All we ever have is apples. Can't we have something else for a change?
What's bothering you, Jimmy? You've been a grouch all evening.
I know. Why don't we sing my favorite Christmas carol?
Mom, will you just be quiet for once?
Jimmy, watch your mouth.
Oh, what's wrong, son? The Lord can help.
I think it's about time I started helping myself.
God's word says, call unto me, and I will...
Forget it, Mom. If I want what I get, that's what I want.
Well, how about college? How is that coming along?
Mom, look at this note that I just got from the dean.
Mr. James Barnes, a minimum of $1,000 must be paid on your account before you may register for second semester. Business office.
But don't you almost have enough to pay it?
I did have. That's what I've been working round the clock at the drugstore and diner all Christmas vacation for.
What do you mean you did have?
Like an idiot, I've been cashing the checks and hiding the money in the back of one of my drawers at home.
And?
It's gone.
Gone? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
But who would take it?
Can't you guess?
Your mother?
Yes, my loving mother.
But why?
I don't know. She'll spend it on booze or whatever else she does down at that stupid bar.
I'm going to call Sheriff Martin.
Go ahead. It won't help. She'll just say she never saw that money. So stupid.
Oh, Jimmy, God's grace can meet your need. Why don't we just pray to him, right?
No thanks, Mom. I deserve a lot more out of this life than God's ever given me, and I intend to get it.
Jimmy, you don't mean that.
Oh, yeah? See you later.
Jimmy.
Even after 10 years, that night was still painfully fresh in Jimmy's mind. His life was so different now. So sophisticated, so comfortable, yet so empty. Suddenly, Jimmy's thoughts were jerked back to the present when he heard Grace coming down the stairs.
I found your shoes, Johnny, and here's some socks, too.
Thanks, Mom.
I'm just tickled pink to have you home, son. Now I'm starved. Why don't we eat?
Everything's ready, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, well, then let's have a seat. And Johnny, would you mind asking the Lord to bless the food to our bodies?
Sure, Mom.
And don't forget to pray for Jimmy. He's carrying an awful heavy load.
Yes, ma'am. Mom, you know, do you think you'd mind saying grace for us today? I haven't heard you say grace in such a long time.
Oh, that's sweet, honey. Sure. Dear Father, thank you so much for bringing our son home safely. Thank you for the good apple crop this year. And we especially pray for Jimmy. Lord, that boy is bearing a mighty heavy burden. Bring him home, Father. Thank you so much. so much for your amazing grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Johnny, be sure you save room for apple pie. You know what they say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Yes, Mom, that's one thing I do remember.
Debbie, could you pass the applesauce to Johnny? Now, who could that be?
Oh, it's my mom. She said to be ready at 6:15.
Ready for what, dear?
The Christmas Eve service at church tonight.
Oh, well, we better get going.
I'm going to stay here tonight. I'll clean off the table.
Oh, that's really sweet of you to offer, son. But everyone will want to see you at church.
But the food might spoil.
Oh, nonsense, dear. Just leave everything right where it is, and we'll eat as soon as we get home. And you can just get an apple right out of the refrigerator. You know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
As Jimmy climbed into the back seat of Pastor Green's big old station wagon, he felt trapped. Mrs. Green and Debbie were in the front seat, with Jimmy and Grace in the back. It was a long, awkward ride to church, but they finally got there. And as they entered the church, the pastor was there to greet them.
Grace, it's so good to see you.
I'm so glad to be here, Pastor. You know, I'd like to ask a special request. My son, Johnny, has come home from college, and the Lord has once again shown me His amazing grace. Could we sing that grand old song?
Sure, Grace. I'd be glad to.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. That's my favorite Christmas carol. God sure showed us His grace when He sent His Son, didn't He, Pastor?
He sure did, Grace.
As Jimmy passed through the doorway of the musty, old, candle-lit church, the urge to run almost overcame him. But as the choir started to sing, a wonderful peace settled over everyone.
Oh,
Welcome to our annual Christmas Eve service. Thank you for coming. I wasn't sure what kind of a crowd we'd have tonight with all of the snow on the roads, but I'm glad that all of you made it. The choir has been working hard, and we have a wonderful evening ahead of you. But before we begin, we have a special request to sing Amazing Grace, and I'd like everyone to stand and sing with the choir on the first verse. Now Sheriff Martin comes to start off our Christmas program by reading some familiar scripture.
Luke 2, 9 through 11. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And now Pastor Green will favor us with a solo.
Thank you.
Uncomfortable evening for Jimmy. He wanted to leave as soon as the program was over, but Grace would have none of that. Besides, Pastor Green would be with them on their ride home, and there were many visitors to greet. Grace stationed herself at the door and made sure that no one left without shaking hands with her darling son, Johnny. Finally, the church was empty, and Mrs. Green and Debbie started blowing out the candles around the auditorium. Grace was beginning to wear down. All the excitement had taken its toll. Jimmy climbed into the back seat of the pastor's car and found himself sandwiched between Debbie and Grace. And after dropping off Debbie and Mrs. Green at the pastor's house, Jimmy got into the front seat while Grace quietly slept in the back.
I haven't seen Grace so chipper in months. Thanks for taking time to come.
If you only knew.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. I guess I'm not in the mood for any compliments.
I know tonight had to be hard on you. With Grace not having your mind at all, it just wasn't your night.
Christmas Eve never has been my night.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I didn't mean to bring that up.
That's all right. You'd think after 10 years I'd be able to get over it.
Jimmy, I know you must feel somewhat responsible for what happened, but the Lord is...
Pastor, can you slow down, please?
Sure, Jimmy.
Do we have to go this way?
Sorry, son. I didn't even think about it.
I just haven't been on this road since...
10 years earlier, after the Christmas Eve service, Jimmy had stormed out of the Hudson farmhouse yelling that he deserved a lot more than life from life than God had ever given him. From there, Jimmy had gone home to his mother's shabby little trailer to sulk. About an hour later, Debbie had called him and asked if he and Johnny could come over. Within 10 minutes, Jimmy had picked up Johnny, and they were on their way.
Why are we going to the pastor's house anyway?
Some of the young people are getting together to sing some carols and share some testimony.
Oh, goody, goody. I get to share my testimony.
Jimmy.
What's the matter, little Johnny boy? Don't you want to share your testimony?
What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. I can't wait to tell everyone how God graciously took my $1,000 to buy booze for my mother. Isn't that amazing?
God didn't do that.
Oh, but don't you know, Johnny boy? He's in control of everything.
Jimmy, slow down. What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. I feel great.
I said slow down. Why are you acting like this?
Because I'm going to get what I deserve.
You're talking crazy.
Oh, yeah? Well, stick around, old buddy. It's going to get a lot crazier than this.
Jimmy, stop the car and let me out.
What's wrong with? Ain't turning chicken on me, are you? We're hardly moving.
Jimmy, there's a curb coming up.
So?
You're not going to make it.
Oh, yeah? Watch me.
Jimmy!
Ah! Oh!
They smashed into a giant oak tree. Jimmy was in the hospital for 3 weeks, but Johnny didn't live through the night. Even after 10 years, the memories were too painful to talk about. Finally, Pastor Green pulled up to the Hudson farmhouse and dropped off Jimmy and Grace. Grace had been sleeping in the back all the way home, so Jimmy woke her up and helped her into the house.
You better get to bed, Mom. It's been a long evening.
I suppose I'm feeling a little tired. Oh, Johnny, I forgot to clean up the supper dishes.
Well, you didn't actually forget
to... Oh, don't go trying to make excuses for me. I may be getting old, but that doesn't mean I can leave things a mess.
Mom, what do you say we, have a little snack before we go to bed?
Oh, I couldn't eat another bite. I'm still stuffed from supper, aren't you?
Well, I suppose so. It's just that it was such a long time ago, it hardly seems like we ate.
Listen, honey, you run upstairs and get your PJs on, and I'll fix you a big piece of apple pie and some hot cocoa.
That sounds great, Mom.
You know what they say, an apple a day.
Yes, Mom, I remember.
Now run along up to your room, Johnny. It'll be ready in a jiffy.
You're sure you don't need my help?
Now, don't go treating me like no fragile antique.
Yes, ma'am.
I can manage just fine. Now run along. You'd think I was getting old or something. I can still work circles around those kids. Sounds like the doorbell. Now, who could that be this time of night? Hold your horses! I'm coming!
As Grace hurried to see who was at the door, Jimmy was upstairs standing in the doorway to Johnny's room. Jimmy had once loved this place so much, but now every emotion within him cried out to run. Hardly anything had changed. The bunk beds were still there. The top of the old dresser was still crowded with Boy Scout badges, plastic trophies, and model cars. And there on the wall hung both Jimmy and Johnny's high school diplomas. Jimmy was startled to see that one more diploma had been added to the wall.
Johnny, here's your pie and your cocoa.
Mom, where'd you get this?
Get what?
This diploma.
Oh, that's your high school diploma, son.
Mom, this is a college diploma.
Huh, well, that's strange. Who does it belong to?
It says it belongs to James Barnes.
Huh, I'll be. I don't know where it came from.
There's a note taped to it. It says, "Dear Mrs. Hudson, in appreciation for all you've done, we're sending you this duplicate of Jimmy's diploma. Sincerely, the administration."
If that don't beat all.
You don't remember anything about this?
I'm sorry, dear. Why don't you ask Jimmy? I'm sure he'd know where it came from.
I don't think so.
Well, let's not fret about it tonight. I'm ready to hit the hay. How about you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, good night, dear. Sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite.
Good night. Wait a second, Mom. What's that in your hand?
Oh, it looks like some keys.
They look like my keys.
Oh. Well, here you go.
That must have been Sheriff Martin at the door.
Oh, someone's at the door?
That means my car is here.
How's that, Johnny?
Nothing, Mom. Just talking to myself.
Well, let's pray together, and then we can get some rest. Lord, once again, you've shown us your grace, and you've treated us far better than we deserve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing my son home for Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
I'll see you in the morning, Johnny. It's sure good to have you home.
Thanks, Mom.
I love you, dear. Merry Christmas.
As Jimmy was left standing alone, he couldn't bear the thought of spending the night in Johnny's room. With his keys in hand, he ran down the stairs and out into the chilly night air. There sat his car in the driveway. He jumped in, turned on the ignition, and backed out of the driveway as fast as he dared. As soon as he got on the main road, he floored the accelerator. Jimmy tuned his radio to the wildest music he could find and cranked up the volume as loud as it would go. He flew around a slow-moving car and cursed loudly when he saw who it was. The flashing blue lights came on immediately. For a few moments, Jimmy tried to outrun him, but finally pulled over and turned off the radio.
What's going on, Jimmy?
I just can't take it.
Has something happened to Grace?
Oh, she's fine, but I'm not.
Whoa, can I help?
The only thing that's going to help is for me to get 1,000,000 miles away from this place.
Why?
Because all I ever got here was a raw deal.
Oh, that's how it is, huh?
Yeah. How would you feel if your mom was a town drunk? Or if you were driving a car that killed your best friend? All I've got here is bad memories.
Bad memories? How about Grace Hudson?
Well, she treated me all right, I guess. But this town still hasn't given me half of what I deserve.
Yeah, and you'd better be thankful for that.
Thankful?
Seems to me there you might be forgetting a few of the details about the accident you had a few years back.
What are you talking about?
You never knew this, Jimmy, but 10 years ago, when you and Johnny didn't show up at the pastor's house, Grace got worried, so she gave me a call. I swung by and picked her up, and we went out looking for the two of you. The first place we tried was your mom's old trailer.
A shiver ran down Jimmy's spine. There was one carefully guarded secret about the accident that had haunted him for 10 years. No one else had any way of knowing, he thought.
Anybody home?
Lucille, are you in there?
For crying out loud, it's open. What do you want, an invitation?
Sorry to bother you, Lucille, but have you seen Jimmy?
No, I ain't, Sheriff. When that boy of mine come home, he's going to be awfully sorry.
Why is that, Lucille?
That little thief's been snitching some of my best liquor.
That can't be. He promised me he'd never drink.
So he promised you? Ha! You and your silly religion. How about doing something useful for a change and turn some water into wine?
That's enough, Lucille. Now, what makes you think Jimmy's been drinking?
What would you think if you walked in and found an open bottle of liquor sitting on the table?
Are you sure you didn't leave that out, Lucille?
No chance, Sheriff. This stuff is expensive. I was saving it for New Year's. Now I want you to find that little thief and throw him in jail till he rots. Imagine stealing from his own mother.
Sheriff, we better find those boys fast.
You're right about that, lady. If you don't find Jimmy before I do, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to give me a gun and defend my property. You hear me? I'm going to kill him.
That night was the first time Jimmy had ever had a drink of liquor. When he was 12 years old, he had promised Grace that he would never touch any kind of alcohol. And Jimmy had been true to his word until that fateful Christmas Eve 10 years before.
You mean you've known all these years?
Afraid so, Jimmy. I wanted to throw you in jail, but Grace wouldn't hear of it. She gave orders that nothing was to be said about the whiskey, and that was the end of it. Said she couldn't bear it if she lost both her boys.
Sheriff, why don't you just shoot me? We'd all be better off.
No, Jimmy. There's some debts you need to pay first.
Debts?
That's right. Some old school bills.
What are you talking about?
How'd you pay your way through college?
I worked like a dog, that's how.
You paid for all of it?
Well, most of it, but my last year was covered by a scholarship for penniless orphans like me. Probably some rich fool trying to make his conscience feel better.
Some rich fool, huh?
Yeah.
How about some poor saint?
What?
Do you remember who gave you that scholarship?
Oh, boy. I think it was a foundation. Something like the A.G. Scholarship Foundation.
Good memory.
How do you know about all this stuff?
Because I'm the vice president of that foundation.
You?
I bet you didn't know I was that important, did you?
Well,
I'm really not.
Look, I think you lost me somewhere.
I'll try to simplify it for you. 30 years ago, when Grace's husband had his farming accident, he bought a life insurance policy on his son, Johnny.
Life insurance on a baby?
Yeah, it was a popular thing back then. And he sure was proud of that boy. Well, then Grace's husband passed away.
Yeah, and you started helping Grace with her finances.
You got it. Funny thing is, she didn't even know about that life insurance policy, but it sure came in handy when Johnny died.
I don't want to talk about that.
Sorry, but you don't have any choice. As it turned out, Grace had enough to pay for Johnny's funeral, with a tidy portion left over. So, we started the A.G. Scholarship Foundation for needy students. But all that money went to one student.
Me?
Yep.
But she's the one who needs it. Why'd she have to go giving it away?
That's what I told her, but she kept saying, no, my son is carrying a mighty heavy burden, and he needs my help.
How could she find it in her heart to care about me?
Well, that kind of goes back to why we call it the A.G. Foundation.
What do you mean?
Can't you guess what A.G. stands for? Let me give you a hint. Amazing...
Grace?
That's right, son. Grace. Getting something you don't deserve.
I've been so blind all these years feeling sorry for myself. But that dear, sweet woman's never given up on me.
Jimmy... Grace is a mighty fine lady, but she's not the one that you owe the most.
She's not?
Nope. There's somebody that's given you far more than Grace.
Who?
Jimmy, can't you see? You weren't planning on coming home for no visit today, were you?
No.
Open your eyes, son. It was no accident you ran off the road this afternoon. There's only one explanation for why you're here. God loves you, and once again, He was showing you His grace.
Sheriff, I don't deserve God's grace.
You're right, and you don't deserve Grace's love either. But she still loves you, Jimmy. Jimmy, whether you like it or not, God's brought you here to Crossroads. Which way are you going to go?
Lord, help me for once to make the right decision. Please help me.
Thank you.
By his fourth grade Sunday school teacher, who also happened to be the town sheriff. Moments later, Jimmy found himself back on Grace's old gravel driveway. As he walked up the sidewalk, everything was different. This time, he didn't see an old broken-down farmhouse. He saw God's grace. Jimmy Barnes was a changed man. Within 2 months, he had sold his Florida condo and had moved into the old Hudson farmhouse to help take care of Grace. Although Jimmy would occasionally try to explain to her who he really was, Grace never did understand. 6 months after coming back home, Jimmy married his high school sweetheart, Debbie Green. And it wasn't long before Grace had the blessing of holding grandchildren in her lap. Jimmy became as good a son as any mother ever had, and it was all because of God's amazing grace.
Thank you. let's open them up to page 104, and the choir will...
You know, I really appreciate the many wonderful servants that we have in both churches. You know, up and down our music program and all the work that they do in the music program. But, you know, everybody else that serves, the people that serve in the nursery and all the other things that it takes to keep up a building and to keep a work moving, and the Sunday school teachers and the work they do with the youngsters, I have great appreciation for every one of you. Thank you very much. I'd like to just call your attention to four important things that you should learn from the dramatization that you heard tonight. Number one, sin will always make a mess. Sin will absolutely always make a mess. You know, if that wasn't a true story that we saw tonight, it would seem true enough, wouldn't it? That's just like it is. You have the drunken mother, and her sin had a great effect upon her son and where he ended up and how he acted. His tormented conscience, and he had to live with it. You know, sometimes the sin will do a lot worse than make a mess. Brings death. The Bible says it brings death. And many, many times, a lot of that death happens right around this time of year, just as it did in that story. It's been happening for a long time, drunken drivers. I had a little article here out of the Baptist Vision. It said at 10:21 p.m. on Saturday evening, September 25th, 1999, a car carrying five Crown College students back to campus from a birthday party was struck broadside by a vehicle driven by a 21-year-old drunk driver. Misty Carrier, a junior, 21, of Papua New Guinea, and Cindy Douglas, a freshman, 18, of Cleveland, Ohio, were taken home to be with Christ in the crash. Seriously injured were Jamie Taylor of Urbana, Illinois, Heidi McLaughlin of Newark, Ohio, Amy Colopy of Batavia, New York. They were treated and released. You know, sin took the lives of those two girls. It also had great injury upon the parents. Can't you just feel for those parents? They send their youngsters off to college with high hopes for them. Then their life is taken. It was taken because of sin. That's lesson number one. Sin will always make a mess. Number two, hardness of heart will rob your joy. You know, the Bible says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You know, Jimmy couldn't enjoy the people who loved him because he had this hardness in his heart. Just couldn't love that woman. Bitterness had a grip on his heart and made him feel absolutely miserable. How horrible it is to have a bitter, impenitent, hard heart. It robs the person who has it of the joy that they could have in their life. Lesson number three. Being in church or near godly people won't save your soul. You know, Jimmy went to the right church, and he had a godly woman caring for him that he called mom. Yet his bitterness continued. There are lessons that we can learn. Four important lessons. Sin will always make a mess. Hardness of heart will rob your joy. Being in a church or near godly people won't save your soul. And the fourth lesson, the grace of God can reach into a heart and make it new. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's rest in your soul. Matthew 11:28. I found this interesting testimony. I thought kind of goes along with the story we heard tonight. One night there came into the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago a man rather slight of build and like so many who came in under the influence of liquor. He had not been seen there before. That night he did not respond to the invitation but left the mission. He did, however, come back the next night and the next. But always the same ending, he did not respond to the invitation but left the mission. He was not the general run of the mission circuit, but was a professional entertainer. A man whom Eddie Cantor had advertised as having the fastest feet in the world, that is, when he was sober. Mac, as he was called, had hit town in between bookings. He was also hitting the bottle, for he was, as he later said, a slave of Satan, sin, and suds. Mr. and Mrs. Walter Taylor, better known as Ma and Pa Taylor, were running the mission at the time. Ma, too, had been in the entertainment field before she was saved and knew of its many pitfalls and temptations. Her heart went out to Mac as she prayed, "Dear Lord, please help us to say and do the right things so that we may win Mac to Thee. Please touch his heart." It was about Mac's fourth or fifth visit to the old lighthouse. The meeting was in progress and Ma Taylor was playing one of the big 9-foot Steinway grands that Billy Sunday had given the mission. He had been a professional baseball player before he was an evangelist. At the other piano was a student from the Moody Bible Institute. As Ma Taylor looked toward Mac, she saw that he was trying the best he could to sing and seemed to be enjoying it. When the singing was over, she noticed that he was staying awake and listening to every word the speaker was saying. When the speaker finished, Pa Taylor gave the invitation. The first one to respond was Mac, who came and knelt at the front. As the invitation continued, Ma Taylor could see that Mac was having some sort of trouble, and after beckoning the girl at the piano to take over, she went and knelt by Mac. As she did so, she heard him say, "But you don't understand. You don't know how bad I am, Lord. Really, I'm the worst man in the world. You can't save me. I'm too bad." Upon hearing this, Ma Taylor began to quietly talk to Mac, telling him that God loved him so much that he would save him and take away his sins. She continued, "Mac, Calvary covers it all. All the sin of your past life." "Please say that again, Mrs. Taylor," asked Mac. Mrs. Taylor repeated, "Mac, Calvary covers it all." There was a moment of silence and then the reply, "Calvary does cover it all. My whole past of sin and shame. Oh, Mrs. Taylor, I'm so glad it's true when you told me." That night, Walter McDonald became a new creature in Christ, or as he liked to say it, "Jesus found me and made me all over at the Pacific Garden Mission." Happy Mac, as he became known after the conversion, left the entertainment world and went on to become an evangelist and outstanding soul winner. Something also happened to Ma Taylor that night. In her heart and mind, a seed for a song had been planted. One afternoon, that same week, she sat down at the piano and wrote, "Calvary Covers It All." As each phrase took form, there echoed her ears and the heart the response of Happy Mac, "Calvary does cover it all, my past with its sin and shame. Oh, Mrs. Taylor, I'm so glad you told me." You know, friend, you can come to Christ. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest from that sin mess. Rest from that hard heart. Rest from religion. You know, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some really great things that He can do for you. Number one, He can save your soul from hell. That'll give you rest. Knowing that, that gives you rest. Number two, He will erase every last sin you've ever committed. That'll give you rest. Number three, He'll give you a new heart to love the right things and have a warmth in your heart instead of hardness. I want to just read three last verses. Me and you. And this is what he does. In Ezekiel, it says this, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." It always feels good to be clean. "You'll be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit." How do we have a new heart? He says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." That stony heart that's bitter and makes you feel rotten. "And I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you." God says, "I will put my spirit within you." That's what makes you a new creature in Christ. It's not changing from one religion to another. That does nothing. It is only by the supernatural work of Almighty God, in which He gives you a new heart, that you are changed and saved for all eternity. And it is God that does it. We request it. Let's bow for prayer. We come to this important time in our service tonight. Only a few more minutes. But they're important minutes. They may be the most important minutes for you for all eternity. What you decide right now. Will you take the invitation that Jesus gives? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you take that invitation? Will you say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin will send me to hell. I know there is no other remedy for my sin but that Jesus Himself, God in the flesh, paid the penalty for my sin when He suffered on my behalf and became my sin sacrifice on a cross. I believe it. Lord, please save me and cleanse me," like I heard that verse, "and give me a new heart. Regenerate my heart and my soul and put your spirit within me. I truly want the things of God." Would you pray that prayer right now in the quietness of your heart, desiring the mercies of God? He's not willing that any should perish. He wants to save your soul right now. Will you yield to Him and ask for that salvation? Our heads are bowed. Before I pray, I want to ask you if you made that decision. Say, "Preacher, I just prayed for that salvation. I want that salvation with all my heart and soul. I mean it." Would you raise your hand? Let me know. Just lift it up so I can see it. Is there someone? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I do want to know that I'm saved tonight." Is there someone? Father in heaven, we pray for this great group of people. We know that there are many people who are saved here and serving the Lord Jesus Christ and have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Oh Lord, we would pray that it be true of everybody. Lord, I pray somebody's holding back right now, hardening their heart toward the things of God, enduring and waiting and saying, "I just a few more minutes and this will be over and I can walk out of here and I won't have to think about these things anymore." I pray that you'll speak to their heart, that they realize that their time on earth could be very short. This may be the last time they ever get a chance to hear the gospel and respond to it. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God might impress these things upon their heart. As we sing the invitation hymn, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.